Roots 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News, an armed fugitive is being pursued in Missouri after barricading himself inside a bus station. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Authorities say the man took two women hostages at the bus station in St. Joseph, Missouri, and was given a car after threatening to shoot the women. The man is believed to be wanted for assaulting a police officer and taking his service revolver earlier in the day. A late report on the search from Gary Porter, stationed at KFEQ in St. Joseph.
The latest report in St. Joseph is that law enforcement officers are still in pursuit of the assailant who caused St. Joseph, Missouri police havoc Friday night. The assailant was last spotted 10 miles south of St. Joseph on Missouri Route 371. The assailant still holds a police officer and two female hostages. Earlier attempts by the assailant's sister to encourage him to give up or at least release the female hostages have failed. St. Joseph Police, Missouri State Highway Patrol, and Buchanan County Sheriff's deputies are still involved in that search. This is Gary Porter for CBS News in St. Joseph.
More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your coat to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type Pills.
Give your cold to Contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Along the eastern Gulf Coast, it's after midnight, and the new $1 a barrel tax imposed by President Ford on crude oil imports has gone into effect. A layer of heavy fog was blanketing the Houston area, preventing an undetermined number of oil tankers from reaching port before the deadline. Oil industry sources say this could cost American motorists several million dollars. Democrats in Congress have started working to develop a legislative program of their own with the emphasis on a specific energy plan. A leadership task force headed by James Wright of Texas is considering proposals. Wright says there is not yet agreement among Democrats on an energy policy.
We're not completely agreed on it. In all candor, there are 8 or 10 different ideas that we're evaluating and weighing one against the other. They range all the way from the president's plan to a control by allocations that wouldn't cost the consumer anything extra. And in between, there are variations that we're trying to evaluate and select from them the most effective and the most acceptable to the American public.
Wright said the Democrats may have a program to present in about a month. Police in Hollywood, California have found the body of a man with his throat cut, and they say he is the 9th victim of the so-called Skid Row slasher who's been on a murder spree in Los Angeles since December. Most of the victims have been derelicts. The latest victim was identified as a 34-year-old bachelor who was found dead in his apartment. Police picked up a number of men Friday for questioning, but released them and now say they have no suspects. Charles Colson is a free man, released from prison after serving 7 months. Federal Judge Gerhard Gazelle ordered Colson's 1 to 3 year sentence reduced to time served, and the former special counsel to Richard Nixon was set free. Judge Gazelle said he acted on Colson's behalf because of family hardships. Upon his release, Colson told reporters, "It's wonderful to be out," and he said he wanted some time to think and to be with his family. Colson had pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice in the Ellsberg break-in case. A federal judge in Washington has sentenced former Governor Tim Babcock of Montana to 1 year in prison and fined him $1,000 for taking part in illegal contribution of money to the 1972 Nixon reelection campaign. President Ford has made his final review of the fiscal 1976 budget he'll send to Congress on Monday. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled to the author in search of a publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
In Washington, the Consumer Federation of America ended a two-day annual conference. Delegates agreed to work with the nation's farmers in order to cut retail food prices. There was considerable support for a proposal by Ralph Nader that consumers form cooperatives to exercise stronger control over what they buy. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Portland Mayor Neil Goldschmidt testified before the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C. today. He termed President Ford's proposal to slacken auto emission regulations for the next 5 years blackmail. He said such action would bring air quality programs in the nation's major cities to a halt, and that progress made thus far would be lost and never regained. Legislation was introduced in the Oregon Senate today aimed at breaking the control major oil companies hold over retail service stations. One bill would ban the oil companies from operating their own retail stations in the state. Another would protect retail dealers from unreasonable cancellation of their contracts. In other Northwest news, fire continues to smolder in a Southern Pacific Railroad tunnel near Reedsport in the south-central Oregon coast. Firemen have put up polyurethane curtains at both ends of the tunnel and pumped inert nitrogen gas into the tunnel in efforts to smother the blaze. But Southern Pacific says it's taking no chances and won't try to send trains through the tunnel until the middle of next week when it's certain the blaze is completely out. 97 Sports, the Seattle Supersonics, in case you didn't hear it earlier this evening on KOIN, scored one of their most unbelievable comeback wins tonight, dropping the Portland Trailblazers 106-103. After being down by as many as 24 points late in the third quarter. The victory in the Seattle Coliseum gives the Sonics sole possession of second place in the NBA's Pacific Division. The two teams play again tomorrow night. This time, however, it'll be here in Portland. And you'll hear all the action again tomorrow night live on KOIN beginning at 7:40 p.m. with the Lenny Wilkins Show. Bill Shanley will have the tip-off and the play-by-play at 8 p.m. Elsewhere in the NBA tonight, these are all final scores. Boston beat Cleveland 121-99. Buffalo over Atlanta tonight 111-101. Chicago dumped Golden State 127-103. Milwaukee beat Philadelphia 101-97. Washington 106, New Orleans 101. And Phoenix beat Los Angeles 105-101. In college action, Ronnie Lee scored 27 points tonight, leading 11th-ranked Oregon to a 79-68 non-conference basketball victory over Oregon State here in Portland tonight. Oregon hiked its season record to 14-2 by pulling away in the second half before a sellout crowd of 11,461 at the Memorial Coliseum. In other college action, these are finals. Lewis and Clark 111, Western Baptist 54, Willamette 75, Pacific 68. In local prep action, Benson beat Cleveland 85-47, Madison 57, Jackson 55, Franklin over Lincoln 60-45, Marshall in overtime beat Jefferson 62-58, Washington 68, Grant 57, and Adams 57, or make that 73, Wilson 69. Sunset beat Aloha 88-49, and Park Rose over Hillsboro 69-56. 97 weather. It's snowing most of Oregon, and the National Weather Service predicts accumulations of up to 3 inches in the lower western valleys by morning. Travelers alerts are out for the state's mountain passes. It's snowing heavily in the mountains, and high gusting winds threaten to pile the snow into hazardous conditions during the night. Interstate 5 in southern Oregon Siskiyou Mountains was closed for a time this evening after drifting snow made travel particularly dangerous. And Interstate 80N in eastern Oregon and in East Multnomah County has been closed to mobile home traffic because of severe crosswinds. The forecast calls for snow flurries through the weekend, and the temperatures in the mid-30s during the daytime with the low during the night going down to about 30 degrees. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 33 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome this time to the world of actuality, but a world more terrifying than any imaginary gothic romance of witches, ghouls, and goblins. The world of the mind, through whose secret chambers wander shapes and specters whose drives can be as weird, as hair-raising, as any ghost story. And the modern heroes who battle these forces of evil, who fight as bravely as any St. George against the dragons, are the psychiatrists. Male or female, consider the case of Dr. Margaret Hunter.
Good night, Percy.
Oh, good night, Dr. Hunter. Now, don't be after going out the back way without the security guard.
Oh, my car's only a short walk into the parking lot.
So was poor Eileen. Do you know what happened to her? And even after that dirty fiend had warned.
I know, but I'm not a nurse. Nor as young, and thank heaven, I haven't had any phone calls yet.
Well, you've got whites on, and the sweet Lord knows you're pretty enough for any filthy-minded maniac like... Oh, doctor, what drives a man to want to rape a woman?
Oh, that would take more than an elementary course in psychiatry to define. But now you've got me nervous enough, Parksy. I'll have the guard show me to my car.
Night.
Our mystery drama, The Disembodied Voice, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Celeste Holm. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Some beer drinkers have funny ideas about beer. They think beer improves with age, like wine. We'll find a brewmaster, though. You'll find a beer drinker who knows better. The Budweiser brewmaster says it all depends on how beer is aged. Just letting beer sit in lagering tanks makes it older, not necessarily better. That even goes for keeping a case around the house for a couple of months. But there is one kind of aging that's good for beer. The Budweiser kind. Beechwood aging. In this kind of aging, something happens. It lets all the flavor of the choicest hops and best barley malt that go into Budweiser get through to you. Sure, it takes more time and trouble to brew Budweiser that way, but brewing beer right does make a difference. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn, like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
It was a dark, overclouded evening, and the parking lot was deserted and forbidding. But the security guard was reassuring and saw Dr. Hunter safely into her car. Feeling slightly foolish, she locked her doors from the inside and rode home uneventfully. After parking the car in the basement of her multi-room department house, she entered the elevator again, feeling a little foolish at the slight nervousness she felt in the empty automatic elevator. But the elevator took her straight to her floor, and she entered her apartment and closed the door with an unaccustomed feeling of relief and annoyance that the phone was ringing.
Hello? Yes? What did you say? Yes, I thought I heard you the first time. Who are you? You're what? Well, really, if you're so desperate, it isn't a woman you need, it's a doctor. After that outburst, I'm quite sure you ought to see me, because I happen to be a psychiatrist, and you're a very sick... Hello? Hello? Damn. Well, Dr. Margaret Hunter, your hand is shaking. What's the matter with you? College? 3 years med school? 7 years residency in psychiatry? And suddenly you're nervous because a man says some, quote, dirty things, unquote, to you over the phone? You should be concerned with the patient and his problem, not yourself. At least this one didn't threaten to kill you after he'd had his way with you. Go to bed. You need some sleep. Not you again. I'm not interested in any further suggestions. Believe me, I know variations you haven't even dreamed of. Hello? Oh, brother. If you knew just how much I'd like to make the same suggestion for you to do the same... Service. Dr. Margaret Hunter, intercept all calls and tell the hospital unless it's an urgent emergency, I don't even want to let them through. Oh, I'm bushed. I've got to get some sleep. Thanks, Judy. Good night. If I can sleep now anymore.
Morning, Parksy. Still on duty?
Good morning, Dr. Hunter. Mary Daly called in saying she would be a few minutes late, so I'm still covering.
Oh, but you're in early.
Yes, I didn't sleep too well. I got some anonymous John on the phone who kept me up most of the night with romantic notions and some others not quite so romantic.
Well, now, didn't I tell you? Oh, heaven help us, it'll be the Grim Reaper himself.
The who?
Well, that's what they're calling him in the tabloids. The one who called up two nurses on the phone and then killed them.
I think with me he got the wrong number.
Did you call the police?
I talked to them this morning. Mm. They'll contact the phone company and I suppose put some kind of monitor on my line.
And they might be able to trace the call. And then they could catch him and put him behind bars.
I doubt if that would solve his problem.
Well, it would solve yours. Keeping you awake the whole night. And scaring you half to death.
You know, I'm not so scared as I am bushed. I need help a lot less than the man does. Or the young man I'm going to see now. If only we could find the magic key, Parksy.
But what is that now? A key? And for what?
To unlock the box we keep our brains in. And let all the creeping ancient bugaboos fly out and blow themselves out of the world. Oh, here comes Mary. Go on home, Parksy. Feed your old cat and water your flowers and count your blessings, because there's nobody who doesn't love you. Morning, Larry. Morning. Still feeling totally antisocial?
What do you want from me? Thanks for the royal suite and service. Heavy screen windows, restraining straps on my arms and legs. I guess I'm lucky I'm not in a straitjacket.
Well, the nurses tell me you wouldn't stay in bed. They had to put you in restraint.
There was no cop outside anymore. I figured I was free to get out of the cage a little.
Well, I persuaded the police you didn't need a guard. You kind of let me down, you know.
Well, how come?
The little girl's mother lodged a pretty severe complaint against you. In your position, I want to keep it out of the papers.
Why don't you just let me alone?
Larry, you're going to have to answer for what you did. If I can tell them the why, or understand the why, you may not have to be locked up.
Look, maybe I need a shrink, but I don't need a dame.
I know you're ashamed of it, and can't face yourself, and would like to work out your hostility on someone, anyone, to try to wipe out your shame, but it won't work that way. You want to make one deal?
What?
Promise me you'll stick to your room and do what the nurses tell you. Look, I happen to be a fan of yours, and I want this to stay as small and as unimportant as I think it really is. We all flip one way or another because life is a little more than any of us can handle. Most people get away with it. Nobody knows. You're not most people. And with you, if anybody knows, the world knows. You don't want that.
Oh, Lord, no.
So we got a deal?
You got a deal.
Good. Now, for the record, I signed you in as a concussion case. You're just under observation till it can be written off. Forgotten. Cured. Dr. Hunter here. I'm on my way home. Do me a favor. Call my telephone service and tell them. I'm so pooped I haven't even the strength to dial. Who's that? Well, what happened to the light?
Well, either burned out or someone knocked it out.
Who are you?
Oh, don't be alarmed, Doctor. Here, my credentials. Detective Sergeant Grant.
Oh, I'll have to take your identification on trust. It's so dark I can't see anything. What are you doing here?
Well, you did call the police. I checked the hospital and found you were on your way home. I got up here and with the lights out, I thought I'd better hang around.
Thank you. I appreciate the protection.
In your case, we're willing to go a little further. I'd like to come in and talk to you, if I may.
Why not? Excuse me. Well, come in.
If you wish. That was rather foolish, Dr. Hunter. You still haven't checked me out.
You want to know something? I'm honestly too tired to care. Anyway, I prefer to trust my instincts. It's more dependable than my knowledge of police credentials.
Well, have a nice place.
Well, it looks better in the right light. How about that?
Better. I got the report on you when I came in this evening. Even without having met you, I thought this was rather a special case.
Oh, why?
Well, first, because your caller may be a man I'm sure you've read about in the papers.
I hadn't, but one of our nurses tells me he's quite notorious. The Grim Reaper?
It isn't funny, Dr. Hunter. He's killed two nurses. Both of whom he'd warned in advance. I hope you'll cooperate with us in trying to trap this man.
I don't like the word trap. It has other connotations. The man is sick. I want to help you find him and cure him, if possible. More important, to stop him from harming anyone else and destroying himself. So how do we do it?
Well, it isn't quite that simple. This phone thing goes on all the time. And we don't know if the man who called you is the man who murdered those girls. Now, the phone company is more than cooperative. They go along when it's important. And in your case, they agree it is.
Well, what's so special about me?
Well, you're a psychiatrist. You don't start at shadows. You can handle a man who's potentially dangerous. Now, for example, if by chance he should call tonight, I have everything set up at Central to trace the call. Your line is being monitored now. But you'll have to hold him on the phone as long as you can for the company to be sure of making a fix. Could you do that?
I can try. I can also tell you that I'm just as anxious as you are. But I don't think my man has any connection with your Grim Reaper.
How do you know?
I don't know. It's instinct. I just think the man who called me was no run-of-the-mill psychotic. I've got the feeling that he was, or is, a man with a temporary aberration.
Hmm. Wasn't it about this time that he called you last night?
Yes.
Someone who knows your habits has some idea of your schedule. Midnight. Is that about when he started last night?
Yes, but it could be the hospital.
Now, wait, as long as we're there.
My service picks up after four rings.
You have an extension in the kitchen?
Yes.
Okay, pick up. I'll get on the extension.
Hello?
Hello, my lovely. This is your unseen admirer. Why did you have to spoil it?
I don't understand. What do you mean, spoiled?
You went to the police.
No, really, I didn't.
We would have been so wonderful together. All the things I told you we'd do. Now, it's over.
No, wait. Why does it have to be? Give me a chance to tell you.
You'll never be able to tell me anything. I'm going to put an end to it. Once and for all. Don't worry. It'll be quick. Farewell, my lovely.
Damn. I'm afraid he got away. Hang up, Dr. Hunter, and let me check the phone company.
I'm going to put an end to it once and for all. An end to what? To the obscene and furtive phone calls? Or does he mean to Dr. Margaret Hunter's life? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all.
Like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk. Sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk, catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
Margaret Hunter's reaction at her unwanted suitor's rejection is at first relief. Then, as a doctor, comes a feeling almost of guilt. Dangerous as he might have been, the man is in need of medical attention. But in the kitchen, checking with the phone company, Detective Sergeant Pete Grant is troubled, from his professional point of view, with a different reaction entirely. The anonymous caller's last words spell to him not necessarily goodbye, but a dangerous threat.
I don't suppose they were able to trace it.
No.
Well, that appears to be the end of that.
My fault. I must have been clumsy. Well, I guess I ought to get along. You must be tired. Sorry I wasn't more help.
You were a lot more than you know. Even though my conscience bugs me a little, I'm glad it's finally all over. It's kind of a spooky experience. Look, can I offer you a drink?
Yes. I mean, well, I don't want to scare you, but...
But what?
You may not be out of the woods yet. Anyway, I'm taking no chances till you are. Would you answer me a question?
If you let me take the couch, it will be a welcome switch. You can have the chair.
Now, the voice was disguised, of course, but are you sure it couldn't have belonged to anyone you know?
Quite sure. Well, as sure as I can be. I mean, I'm reasonably certain it doesn't belong to any of the men, the friends I have.
How about patients?
Life has a way of going in cycles. There aren't any male patients that I'm treating at the moment whose disturbances would drive them in this direction.
Yes?
There's one boy at the hospital, but...
What's his diagnosis?
More or less a classic manic depressive.
Well, could he have been the one who called you?
I don't think so.
Who hospitalized him? When? What was the reason?
I don't want to talk about that boy.
Why?
Well, he's quite a famous athlete. And this is the first time he's done anything like this. He comes from quite a troubled home. And his first chance at making a solid life for himself has been through his athletic prowess. He's with one of our local teams. And if the story ever gets in the press, his career will be, well, if not over... It will be certainly over in this town.
He broke the law, right? Police case.
Yes. He's on our detention floor for observation. Except I persuaded him to leave the police guard off.
Why?
I want a cure, not a conviction. Even the little girl's mother didn't want to press charges. The child was too young to have been affected by it. I made sure of that.
What was the guy on the police blotter for?
Well, nothing very pretty to have on your record. Indecent exposure.
I quite agree. You take that right in your stride.
Well, in my book, it's a symptom, not a crime. It doesn't need punishment. It needs treatment.
Which is not always successful.
Which is not always successful. In this case, though...
In this case, how can you be sure it's only a symptom? Isn't an anonymous phone call just as indecent, particularly the early ones you received?
Larry's voice...
You said yourself the voice was disguised. I heard that.
Even so, I don't think Larry could get that deep or so gruff. Look, just because the boy made one mistake...
Now, Dr. Hunter, believe it or not, on the psychiatric side, a cop sees almost as much as a doctor. I'm not leaning on this boy. I'm concerned for myself and for you. For myself, because this case of the guy who... killed the two nurses at your hospital has been my baby from the start. Now, both of them reported obscene phone calls prior to what happened to them, but we couldn't pin the guy, and we didn't stop him. This time, I'm not taking any chances, since at least there's a possible lead. I'm going down to the hospital right now.
But he couldn't have called me.
Are you sure?
Well, he was under restraint until...
What is it?
I had him taken off restraint and heavy medication. He could have called me tonight if... Wait a minute.
What are you doing?
Checking with the hospital what time he was put under restraint.
So it couldn't have been Larry.
Impossible. They had him in a wet sheet first at 11 till he promised to behave, and the rest of the night they had a harness on him. And the nurses were in and out. He couldn't have moved. And anyway, there's no phone in the room.
Okay, that washes that out.
Detective Sergeant... Heavens, what a mouthful that is. Do you have a name?
Peter. Pete to my friend.
So far, you're still a friend. But speaking of being washed out...
I know, Doctor, but I'm not quite ready to leave yet.
Why not?
Because you're too unconcerned for your own good.
Now, what does that mean?
I think I ought to shake you up a bit. The guy who's been calling you, how do you know you're through with him?
He just said so, on the phone. Goodbye, my lovely, remember?
He also said, I'm going to put an end to it. Maybe that's what he said to the two nurses before he raped and killed them. Now, this case isn't closed yet, Doctor. Now, I want to ask you to be careful. I wish we had enough personnel to cover you around the clock, but we haven't. Would you like a gun?
No, thanks. Not my style. Besides, I wouldn't know how to use it.
Well, then at least promise me to take it easy. You know, don't travel alone. Keep your car doors locked. Keep the chain on your door when you open it. This is my home phone. If you can't reach me at the precinct number, The precinct number's there. The badge number is 352.
I don't need a number. I have a name. Thanks, Pete Grant, PD.
Don't mention it, Margaret Hunter, MD.
I appreciate your concern, Sergeant. But I think it's all over for me, so I'll say goodbye.
I don't like your choice of phrase.
Which one?
Both of them. I hope this isn't goodbye. For personal reasons, I mean, of course. It's been nice meeting you, Doctor.
Same here. We could even things up a bit. It's Margaret. My friends call me Marge.
Good night, Marge.
Good night, Pete.
I'm not leaving till I hear those bolts go home and the chain on.
Okay, Bulldog Drummond. Satisfied?
For tonight, anyway.
You should have listened more closely to your mother, Marge. A policeman is your friend.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hunter.
Hi, Parksy.
Ah, you're on your way to see Larry Hamden.
Right.
Well, he's been waiting for you all day. And a plainclothes policeman was in to see him early this morning.
Did he upset him?
No, not the way I understand it. Now, Larry's been a doll ever since you had the talk with him yesterday. And I just don't see the sense in keeping him here anymore. Tying up a room we could use.
Well, I'm glad everyone else is busy arranging his future. Do you think it might be all right if his doctor gives him a check over?
Oh, well, now, I don't need a kick in the behind to know my left, Hunter. And you know I wouldn't give you a bum steer. Go and see the boy for yourself.
That cop told me how you took up for me and what's been going on around here. I sure owe you a vote of thanks all the way down the line.
I've got a season pass at the stadium, Larry. I want to see you out there again as soon as the team's back off the road.
When do we start our session so I can understand why I could have ever done a thing... a dumb thing like I did?
I told you today was our first. I'm going to leave you to get dressed. Then I'm going to march you down and sign you out. And then I'll walk you to the bus and we'll talk on the way. Then you'll go home. Now, starting tomorrow, I'll see you twice a week after practice. And the story, as far as anyone else is concerned, is what I said at the beginning. You had a slight concussion, which cleared itself up physically. You were only on the psycho floor for observation.
You know, Doc, you are something else.
Well, you get my bill.
You just write the figure. I'll pay it. There's another dude who thinks you're something else, too.
Oh, who?
The cop who checked me out this morning. But he's worried about you.
Oh?
He's written me off as the nut who's after you, but he still feels you're in danger. How's you like a defensive tight end who goes 235 in top shape as your bodyguard?
You solve your own problems, Larry. I can handle mine. But thanks anyway. Go on now, get dressed, and let's get out of here. Dr. Hunter, I'm going home. I don't expect to be taking any calls. But you leave me live till I cut you off. If I don't answer by four rings, forget it and just take the message. That's right. No, if I don't answer, I'm out and can't be reached. Thanks, Judy. Night.
Oh, Dr. Hunter.
Yes?
Well, I wonder, would you mind, could you help me back to bed?
Why, of course. Where's your room?
It's just down the hall. Oh, I appreciate this. I just guess I'm not quite as strong as I thought I was. I just had a baby, you know.
Congratulations.
Oh, this is my room. Now, if you could just help me into bed.
Use the step.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Oh.
There.
Oh, thank you. That feels good. My husband's coming to see me any minute now, and I wanted to be on my feet.
Well, no sense in hurrying it.
But I'd like you to meet him.
Well, it's rather late, and I...
Oh, you don't recognize me, do you?
Should I? You do seem a little familiar somehow, but I'm afraid I so seldom get to the maternity pavilion.
Oh, no, you wouldn't know me from here. It's just that I live in the same apartment building as you.
Oh.
Yeah, my name is Louise. I'm Mrs. Charles Benson.
Well, how do you do? I should apologize, but I'm afraid I'm a typical cliff dweller. I'm there so little, I don't know any of my neighbors.
Oh, that's all right. You're a busy doctor. And, well, we don't even live on the same elevator bank, but where you're, like, well-known. I mean, a woman psychiatrist and all. And, well, I'm just glad that I have the chance to say hello.
Me too.
I wish you could wait to say hello to my husband. He's the one first pointed you out.
Well, I wish I could, too, but I've had a long day, and I really must get home. Tell your husband I'm sorry I missed
him.
And...
Here he is now. Charles, will you look who helped me back into bed? Dr. Margaret Hunter from our old building.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Benson?
How do you do?
My congratulations on your new baby. And now I really have to run.
But Charlie, what's the matter with you? Has Cat got you done?
I'll leave you two alone.
Charlie, that wasn't very polite.
Hello, my lovely. Don't you look wonderful?
Hello, my lovely.
Hello, my lovely. Scarcely the most modern of phrases, a little stilted and old-fashioned. Still not necessarily that individual or damning. And Margaret Hunter was too tired and hungry to make any more of it. Which was her mistake, as we shall see when we return shortly with Act 3.
Give your hand.
You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The Tiny Time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Give your cold to contact.
A medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
It was a weary Dr. Hunter who ate a light dinner at the hospital cafeteria and then headed for home. There comes a moment of exhaustion when the mind simply suspends itself and refuses to function any further. Coming out of the elevator to her apartment, she was even too tired to be annoyed that once again the hall light was out, and she had to scrabble with her key by feel to open the door. But she was rudely awakened to full perception as the door opened, and with a silent rush, a gloved hand was over her mouth, the other arm pinioning hers to her side.
Don't scream. Please, don't scream. Just move inside. That's right. Now, I'm going to take my hand off your mouth. But don't scream. I warn you, I have a knife and a gun.
I have no intention of screaming, Mr. Benson.
You know who I am?
I'm reasonably sure it's the voice I heard at the hospital this afternoon. Now, will you let me go?
I do. Promise not to make me do something I'll be sorry for?
It's a promise I'm glad to make. I don't want anything to happen that we'll both be sorry for.
Can I trust you?
Well, that's my question. Can I trust you?
Come in.
Mrs. Benson?
Yes.
My name is Pete Grant. I thought I might find your husband here.
Oh, Charles was here, but he left early. He had a lot of work to catch up on. Are you from his office?
No, I have some business with him. When did he leave?
Oh, about an hour ago. I could call him at the house.
Oh, that's all right. I can catch him some other time. Oh, call him myself. I'm sorry to bother you.
Oh, it's no bother. I wish you could stay and chat.
I wish I could, too. But this is a busy evening for me. Excuse me.
I have to answer it. It might be the hospital.
No! Let her ring.
If you insist.
I have to, Margaret. I can't let Louise be hurt. Now, when she's finally had the baby we always wanted, it would kill her. Kill? Is that what I have to do? What? Why did it stop ringing? Why did the phone stop ringing?
I have a service that intercepts.
After phone rings?
Yes.
Then that means you're not home. Good. Now give us a little time together before... You'll give us time.
Look, service, I'm calling from the hospital. I understand, but this is police business. I don't care what Dr. Hunter told you. You keep ringing her till you get through to her. Yes, I'll hang on.
I thought you said the service intercepted.
They're supposed to.
Then why don't they?
It must be some emergency.
That ring is driving me mad. Don't you have a cut-off switch or something?
Only on my bedroom.
Well, go in there.
If you just let me...
I told you I had a knife. Move.
All right, I'm moving. Just don't do anything foolish.
Don't you? Now cut off the phone by the bed. Quick!
All right, all right.
Damn! Will it never stop?
Maybe if you let me tell the service not to put through any calls.
No, no, no. Stay away from the phone. If we wait long enough, they'll give up. That's better. I thought you'd never know who. And now... Now you hold my whole life in your hands, Margaret. Once I might have wanted that. But not now. Now that Louise has had the baby, I have to think of her first. I have to protect her. Don't you see? You see that, don't you? What else can I do but kill you? What else can I do?
You could face your real problem.
Huh? What problem?
That you need help. Psychiatric help.
Aren't you afraid of me, Margaret?
No.
Why not?
Because... If I were, you might kill me, Charles.
Why do you call me Charles?
You call me Margaret.
That's the way I always thought of you. Margaret. And I had no right. Not with Louise. Well, you see, she must never know. You see that, don't you? I have to get rid of you. Then there's no one to tell her.
That makes sense. On a pathological level.
You understand?
I understand a great deal about you, Charles.
You think I'm mad, don't you? Insane. lunatic.
I do not.
You said pathologic.
That's a scientific word. The others don't mean anything.
Oh, you think I'm sick?
What do you think, Charles?
I'm not sick. I'm just... That collar's too tight. It's hard to breathe. You don't know what it's like. You couldn't understand. Look, I never had a girl. Any other girl but Louise. Well, she's not pretty, but she's a good girl. We were married after college. I was never any good with people. It's too shy. I was even worse with girls. Talking, dating, everything. Louise understood. She was so patient. Except for the child. We never could have a child like she wanted. We went to doctors for years and years. I hated it. What business was it of theirs? Our private life. What did they think? Did they think I was the one to blame?
Were you?
No. Well, you see, we worked it out. We did have a child.
You worked it out, or the doctors?
What's the difference? Well, anyway, there were other things. Louise was having the baby. She didn't need me anymore. She didn't want me that way. All she thought about was the baby. And I was alone again. I was more alone than I'd ever been in my life.
Is that when you started calling women on the phone?
I wanted to frighten them, to hurt them, to get back at some women for what Louise was doing to me. I only did it twice. And each time afterwards, I was sick and ashamed of myself. What kind of man was I? How could I do such a thing? I couldn't explain it to myself.
You could have gone to a psychiatrist.
No.
He could have helped.
No. How could I even begin to tell him about myself, what I'd done? How could I talk about such private things, even to a psychiatrist?
Well, you're talking to one now.
I knew you were in the building. The first time I called, I was going to ask for help. I was all alone downstairs in the apartment. The walls were closing in on me, so I looked up your number and I called. And then when I heard your voice, all I could think of was you. Soft and warm in a bed. Alone. Like me. Alone. The whole world was against me, making me alone. And so
Poor Charles. Why didn't you follow your first impulse before it was too late?
Is it too late? You can't help me now.
Give me the knife, Charles.
Knife? Where did I have it? Oh, yeah, here. Here. Margaret, what am I going to do?
I don't know. I wish I could buy back time for you, Charles, and for your poor wife. But it's too late. The girls are dead.
What girls?
The nurses you raped and murdered. Isn't that what you were planning to do to me, too?
What nurses?
The ones you called on the phone before you called... Charles, listen to me. Those first two women, how did you find their numbers?
Find them?
Hmm.
Well, I just picked them at random out of the phone book.
They weren't nurses that worked at my hospital?
I don't know.
Then you're not the man in the papers, the one they called the Grim Raper.
That murderer? What kind of a monster do you think I am? I never saw either of those other two women.
Oh, Charles, then there is hope for you.
Hey, who's that?
I don't know.
Open up, Margaret. It's police.
Pete!
The police? Stay where you are! Now put that knife down! I told you I had a gun!
Come up, Will, I'm coming in!
Trust you!
I didn't know he was coming, Charles.
Margaret, are you in there? Are you all right?
Of course I'm all right.
I'm warning Benson. If he's in there with you, there are three of us and we're all armed.
Now I'll have to kill you and myself.
Oh, don't be a silly boy, Charles. Give me that gun. That's better. You can come in now, Pete. And you can put your gun away, too, Detective Grant. I think you'll find that Mr. Benson and I have solved all our problems. Home, sweet home.
The candle in the window still isn't burning very bright.
Oh, you mean that bulb. I'll get the super to replace it in the morning.
I wonder if Benson was responsible for that.
Oh, let's not blame any more on him.
Blame? I'd like to have given him one good shot for putting you through what he did. Lady, you sure have guts.
How did you happen to come charging up like St. George in time to save the lady from the dragon?
Oh, that's simple. I got interested from the very beginning in the case.
Oh?
Now, once we picked up the other guy this morning, the one responsible for the nurses, I got to thinking about you. The case, I mean. How did the guy know you'd called the police in? Unless it was someone right in the building. So I ran a building check and came up with three possibles.
Three possible what?
Lone birds who might take a notion to make naughty phone calls. Singles. One, salesman out of town. Two, a guy whose MC at a nightclub was in the middle of his act when the phone call came the night I was here. So, it looked like it had to be number three, Benson.
And it was.
Can you really cure him, do you think?
Well, I haven't had time to evaluate his case, but I'm optimistic. Drink?
No, thanks. Yeah, we're both beat. I still have to get a statement from you to close the file.
I'll give it to you right now.
Oh, there's no hurry. Give us a chance to meet again and for me to get up enough courage to ask a question. Good night, Marge.
Good night, Pete. Oh, brother, Pete was right. I am beat. It's getting to be a lifestyle. Tonight, nothing keeps me awake. Uh-oh, just to be on the safe side, lock it up. And so to bed with no more interruptions. Oh, no, not again. There can't be any more left. Hello?
Marge, it's Pete. Calling from the lobby. Did you lock up?
Yes, sir.
I thought maybe I'd better ask my question tonight.
All right. What is it?
Do lady psychiatrists ever go out with lonely detectives with no psychological problems? Like tomorrow night?
A girl gets the darndest phone calls. But I like this one. Why not, Pete? Why not?
A trip through the haunted hallways of the mind. I wonder if Dr. Margaret Hunter ever located the golden key in Charles Benson's case. Now that's interesting. I wonder also if men ever receive obscene phone calls from lonely ladies. Only one way to find out. I'll let you know when I return shortly.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living. But there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects. Or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. The time is exactly 12 midnight.
CBS News. President Ford has completed work on the federal budget he will unveil on Monday. There is speculation it's a very big one with a large deficit. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. President Ford Friday told reporters he never thought he would sign a budget as large as this one. There are reports it may contain a deficit as high as $45 billion. Mr. Ford referred to his days as a conservative Republican congressman from Michigan, noting how he used to chide other lawmakers on what he called a deficit spending. A senior White House aide said President Ford has not changed his basic fiscal thinking, but added the circumstances, that is, the recession, have changed the man. More news in a moment.
Give your hand.
That's the question when you catch the common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion. Then take 12-hour contact. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The tiny time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Give your cold to contact.
6301. Take contact. Only as directed.
Charles Colson is now out of prison. Colson was released Friday on orders from Judge Gerhard Gazelle, who reduced his 1 to 3 year sentence to time served. Colson was behind bars for 7 months after pleading guilty to obstruction of justice in the Ellsberg break-in case. Colson was a special counsel to former President Nixon. At his home near Washington late Friday night, Colson told reporters,
"Very grateful to Judge Gazelle for the compassion which he's shown, and just couldn't be happier. I guess I'll never, as long as I live, get off of my mind the faces of men that I met in prison and the faces of sad men who live very lonely and very difficult lives. I'll never forget that as long as I live, and I'll never forget the experiences of it."
Colson says he may do some writing, but will not go on the lecture circuit. The National Transportation Safety Board Friday continued hearings into the December 1st crash of a jetliner near Washington. John Meyer reports.
In his second day on the witness stand, radar controller Merle Dameron insisted there was nothing unusual in his decision to clear Transworld Flight 514 for an approach when the plane was 35 miles from Washington's Dulles Airport. With that clearance, the plane began an immediate descent and plowed into a mountain 23 miles from the runway, killing all 92 on board. It was already too late when Dameron noticed the jetliner's low altitude on his radar scope.
I couldn't believe that the pilot would be at that altitude there. So I assumed that I'm getting a wrong read up.
Now, what was your reaction when you noticed the altitude of 2,000 feet?
That frightened me.
Dameron's testimony indicated confusion in FAA procedures over who has responsibility during instrument landing approaches. He expressed concern that increasingly the responsibility for complete safe conduct of the aircraft is being transferred from the pilot to the controller. John Meyer, CBS News, Washington.
Near St. Joseph, Missouri, police are still trying to stop an armed fugitive who has three hostages in a car with him. Authorities described the man as a heroin addict who was wanted for assaulting a policeman. The man took two women hostages inside the bus station and threatened to shoot them unless he got a car. Authorities decided to let him have the car, and he left with the two women and a police officer who volunteered to go along. Congressman Robert Drinan, Democrat of Massachusetts, has filed suit along with 22 other congressmen to try to halt any further U.S. military action and funding in Cambodia. The suit cites a 1974 act of Congress barring the sending of funds to Cambodia or American participation in military action there. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
The Federal Communications Commission has refused to renew the licenses of five radio stations owned by Star Stations Incorporated. The FCC charged the company committed numerous violations, including the promotion of the political campaigns of Senator Mark Hatfield of Oregon and Senator Vance Hartke of Indiana. The stations involved are in Vancouver, Washington, Omaha, Nebraska, and Indianapolis. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Portland Mayor Neil Goldschmidt has termed President Ford's plan to ease auto pollution rules one of the greatest pieces of blackmail ever handed to the American public. The mayor, one of two mayors to testify before a panel of the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, said the Ford plan would prove to be a classic mistake. He was referring to the administration proposal to delay new exhaust regulations for 5 years to help slumping auto industry sales. Goldschmidt said the plan would disrupt Portland's clean air efforts. 13 young postal assistants are back on the job in Portland, but there's still some question about whether they'll be paid back pay since they're firing January 3rd. Postmaster B.W. Lusher said the action against the 13, all students between 16 and 22, was too severe. The students, who are in a national project designed to help low-income people, were fired from their jobs at the main post office in Portland for allegedly leaving work without permission on December 31st. The students claimed that their orders on the issue had been confusing. KOIN's Boyd Levitt reports some new developments in the state's hassle with that Wacheng industrial plant in Albany.
KOIN News learned during the day that State Environment Director Kessler Cannon has decided not to levy those heavy fines that he had threatened against Wacheng. The state had threatened that company near Albany with fines as high as $10,000 a day if it continued to violate its water pollution discharge permit. The Department of Environmental Quality had charged Wacheng with illegally increasing its production output that generated as much as 12,000 pounds of ammonia waste per day that was dumped into two local creeks which feed into the Willamette River. The discharge permit limits the pollution to 5,000 pounds per day. But we learned today that Wacheng agreed to abide by its discharge permit, and the state has backed down from last week's threat of heavy fines. Meanwhile, state technicians are making unscheduled inspections from time to time to make sure Wacheng lives up to its agreement. In addition, the state has ordered Wacheng to reduce that 5,000 pounds of ammonia to about 2,000 pounds by June. Wacheng has reportedly agreed to do this. Environment Director Cannon explained to us today that the threat of fines was aimed at putting that company on notice that the state is serious and concerned about Wacheng's attitude that the company could increase its production and ammonia output and ignore restrictions on polluting the Willamette River. It's no big secret that Wacheng is a large Defense Department contractor. In fact, that company manufactures about 85% of the defense budget's rare metal zirconium, used in jet engines, nuclear nuclear devices and reactors. And Channel 6 was told by State Environment Chief Cannon that Hua Cheng threatened to sue the state if the DEQ levied a fine or forced a cutback in production in order to lessen the pollution of the Willamette. The company was prepared to argue that a penalty would threaten the national defense. Cannon said the company's threat was not a factor in his decision not to levy the fine. This is Boyd Levitt, KOIN News.
The Bonneville Power Administration says it has rejected six claims made for the $100,000 reward offered for information leading to the arrest of the extortionist Jay Hawker. An FBI spokesman says none of the claims had been connected with the information which was used in the capture of the 34-year-old couple, David and Barbara Heesch. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, hazardous driving conditions Saturday for possible snow accumulation up to 2 inches. Snow showers heavy locally Saturday. Snow showers continuing Sunday. Lows this morning and Sunday morning near 30. Highs both days in the upper 30s. Wind southeast 15 to 25 miles per hour, decreasing late Saturday. Chance of measurable precipitation 90% today and 70% tonight and Sunday. Currently 33 degrees in downtown Portland, and that's KOIN News. News at 12:10. This is Alan Archer.